Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry we started a bit late, but it wasn't our fault. Welcome to the workshop for the Geographic Regions Working Group. The agenda for this afternoon is very flexible. We have received feedback from many parts of the community. The working group has not had an opportunity yet to go through those in detail, and so I'm not in a position to say what the working group's reaction to all of it is or what it will be doing. Clearly, we are going to be meeting over the next few weeks. We'll produce the final report, which will then be circulated to each of the SOs and ACs for their formal comment. That formal comment will then accompany the report to the board. So that's the procedure. So what I have got now, I'm open to suggestions on how people want to proceed. What I have got is the public comment issue tracking sheet that we have got, which has tried to highlight the main issues that have happened or comments that have been made. And I'm happy to put that up on the screen, and we can use that as a basis for going through and touching on various comments. Or I'm happy to throw the floor open and you can raise any questions, issues that you want. Can I get a feel for which you would rather do? Up on the screen. Okay. Could you use a microphone?
Sorry, yes. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm with the business constituency. For those of you who don't know, but I know you're used to seeing me at the microphone, so you probably recognize the back of my head. I just have a question about what you said, okay? I just need to, and I bring Zaid's regrets, he had a conflict. I just have a, when you said that the final report would be sent to the, I need to understand whether you're saying it will go out for ICANN-supported public comments, or it is going to be directed to the GNSO Council or the GNSO, since those are two different things. They're related to each other, but the GNSO is a bunch of constituencies. So we don't. I just need to understand where you're sending the report.
Rob, you're poised there to answer that in detail.
Oh,
yeah?
There you are.
Not necessarily poised, but I'm happy to try to flesh it out a bit. According to the charter of the working group, the final report is shared with the SOs and ACs. In the case, for example, of the GNSO, it doesn't specify the council, but it would go across all. But and then presumably after that, once the board receives the compiled package, it may choose to instruct staff to post for another public comment period. That would be their decision.
So a point of clarification, what that says to me is that we'll go to, because there is a list that has all of the AAC and SO, including the ALAC, but it is not open to the general public. It is within, and I'm not questioning that. I just thank you for that clarification.
Yes.
Yeah, the public consultation period is essentially over. We are producing a final report, and everybody else has opportunity to comment on that, and that comment will accompany the report to the board. Is everybody clear? Okay, I've put on the screen, starting at the top. I can make some comments on each as we go down. If people wish to amplify or ask questions, please stick your hand up. First one asks about the ongoing scenario with the RIR there is no suggestion that I have heard from the working group that there will be any ongoing link between the regional structure and the RIRs. It is using, the proposal is to use the RIR current structure as a starting point for any proposed changes. Thereafter, no continuing association, is my understanding. Any comments, questions on that one?
Is it okay if I save my questions so I have to go through all of these and then maybe others will
answer? Okay. ELAC says the current framework should be, should be maintained. It asserts that aligning the regions to the RIR model does not enhance diversity and would not ensure more international representation than the current model. My comment on that is, I don't get from the, this is a summary of what the ELAC submitted, I have difficulty understanding the point here. So
I will explain you. The RIR model will not enhance the diversity, which is the origin aim of the geographic region and ICANN. Why? Because this model will put Iran in Europe. And in this case, the difference between the Iran and the European countries in terms of access, in terms of competences, etc., will make the Iranian not have any chance to be on the board anymore. And I am talking about Iran, but there is Iran, Kuwait, etc., etc. There is no rationale to bring those countries to Europe at all. Second point, the proposal you made according to the RIR model will bring other problems related to sovereignty. And there is the big problem of the Malouins, of the Falklands, which is really bothering us. We have people from all over the world in ALAC, and we know that people are really worried about this point.
I think there is a big difference between the definition, if you like, of a country and territory, and which we're not touching. That is still coming from the ISO standard, not being changed in any size, shape or form. We're not getting involved in defining what is a country or what is a territory. It is only an allocation. So, to me, I don't see the big political issue there.
David, if you don't mind, it's Marilyn speaking.
Yeah.
Could I just clarify what we're doing?
Yeah.
Because I heard you rebutting a comment, and I'm happy to debate my points of view with you as the chair, but I thought what I was doing was expanding and explaining the question. Is that okay? Because that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, fine.
Okay,
that's
thank
fine.
You.
Yeah.
I will support very strongly the statement just made by the ALAC, and I may support others of their comments, because that is actually exactly the same problem that we see as business. So perhaps as we go through this, what I'll hope to do is just clarify where we agree with these concerns, because my understanding is that your report will be taking these comments. Yes. So my purpose is just to say I support the concerns that were expressed by the ALAC, and that is how the business constituency sees this as well. Thank you.
Edmund, I understand that. What I'm trying to do is to get a better understanding of those views.
I'm happy to. That's what I needed to understand. Is yeah. Do you want me to tell you if I agree with this, or did you want me to explain more?
I'm happy, very happy for you all to explain more.
Okay. I guess I'm not quite sure from reading the report and watching the work what business problem is being solved at ICANN. And I don't mean business problem, but business problem. Because the implications of these changes on representation and on opportunities for citizens from countries that might end up being moved to another region may have very significant impact, actually, on their participation in various parts of ICANN. And that was the point I was saying to you, is we have not been able to really trickle down on the recommendations to the end impact. If for us, we find that it is very helpful sometimes for certain fairly certain countries that have a negative view of the internet to be in a region where colleagues who share cultural and geographic technical challenges, etc., and moving them into a extremely well-developed region. While that might work for purposes of IP allocation, and I used to advise AT&T on their participation in Aaron, for purpose that doesn't work in terms of non-IP address allocation. I'm not sure that the example scales into the rest of ICANN, that model scales, because of some other implications.
I think I'm beginning to understand a bit. But remember, there is no doubt in the mind of the working group or of the majority of people that we have discussed this with that the present regional structure has a number of failings, both legal, because it hasn't been ratified by the board at any time, and practical, in that, for example, the Cayman Islands is associated with Europe, which to us is ludicrous. And I just use that because it's mine and nobody can argue about that. So we were looking and have looked at, initially looked for some external reference point and could find no acceptable external reference point. Found this one as a starting point, and it is only, nobody has said, nobody is making anybody go anywhere. There is, and I think one of the things that we've got to discuss is whether there is an opt-in or an opt-out, because it's quite different. I've got lots of hands going up.
Hello, I'm Jean-Jacques Subrenat. I'm not a member of this working group, and thank you for allowing me to say a few words. When I was on the board, I had the pleasure of chairing the CCNSO review, which isn't quite the same, but there is some relationship with what you're discussing. I'd like to make a couple of remarks. The first is that, viewed at a distance now that I'm no longer on the board, it's interesting to view this at a distance. And what strikes me is that the imperfection of this geographic allocation system is such that I can only consider it as very temporary. Very temporary. Which means that two things. First, we have to improve it as best we can for the duration, for the unknown duration of this system. In other words, that is the damage control part. But the second remark about that is, I think one should cast one's net much wider than that. I don't know if that's the remit of this working group, but at a certain point it will be necessary to cast the net further afield in order to have perhaps more innovative thinking about the whole concept. So I did notice, Chair, that you said this is a starting point. You mentioned this several times. I agree on that point, at least, that it is a starting point. But I find, and this I say in defense of the ALAC position, which you have just reminded us of, that rather than go into something which is even less perfect or even more damageable, in the case of the Middle East countries being included in Europe, and for reasons which Marilyn has pointed out very ably, I think that we in the ALAC tend to view this from the general internet user point of view, and that's important, I think. In other words, from the point of view of the global public interest, as risky. So for those reasons also, and in addition to supporting what has been said by the two previous speakers, I'd say that it's better to keep the very imperfect system we have now rather than tamper with it to arrive at what will in any case be a provisional solution and which will be, in my mind, worse. Thank you.
Pablo.
Well, I think I'm the only one from the RIR community here. And first of all, I think the work in the report has been very extensive. And as you saw in our comments made in different sessions like these ones and in our written comments and on the working group list, I mean, the work in this report is comprehensive. It includes the history of the process. I think it includes a very good diagnosis of the problem, and it also concludes that there is always the need to have an artificial, discretionary, and ultimately to make some decisions on this, and there will always be sort of someone that will not agree with this approach. I think that the decision that the working group took is a very good one, because it says let's have a starting point and flexibility for it to evolve, but in a limited way, sort of that it settles with time. And I think it was a very good proposal. From the RIR point of view, on one hand, we felt sort of honored that our sort of approach to regions was considered as a good starting point for this. However, as we have said repeatedly, this model has not evolved or developed or was proposed to address the particular concerns or principles about the diversity of the board and the needs of ICANN representation. This model evolved for very different other types of reasons. So the report says, let's start with the RIR model and let's leave space for sort of changes, and then let's fix it. I think there is a chance to improve clarity on that approach, and we will also fill, I think, the RIRs with the view that it's just the RIR model is a parameter of reference, and it should not be evaluated as a good or a bad model. It is just a useful thing that has been referred to. So that's basically a repetition of what the RIRs have said, and also in some way made this disclaimer that there is no interest whatsoever of the RIR to push a particular model, and that we don't think that this model is made or may address all of the interests of having good representational diversity at the board. So with all of that said, I just think that the report could be more clear on that, that there is a starting point, that there is some flexibility, and that the RIR model is a parameter of reference, and it's not the model to be thought as good or bad. I just found that the working group look at it as useful, and I would like just not to expand a lot on whether the RIR model is good or not, because it was not created for this. Thanks.
Thanks, Pablo. Martin.
Thanks, I'll add my apologies for being a, excuse me, for not being a working group member, and thank you for allowing me to speak. I must admit, I actually do think that the points that ALAC have made in this instance are actually quite important points and do have to be taken very, very seriously. And I think one of the things that's actually worrying me is that, and somebody did use the words, that there is a national sovereignty issue here. And it's national sovereignty is always a difficult issue. So I think we need to see this in the context of national sovereignty. When you get to the CCNSO comments, they have made a very specific reference to the need to being opt-in rather than it just being de facto unless you actually say you don't want to. And there's a specifically good reason for that. There are an awful lot of countries on your list that you are moving from region to region that I have never, ever seen in ICANN. They probably can't even spell it. And therefore, you have to leave them to opt in to the region that is relevant to them when or if they ever do join ICANN. Thank you.
Interesting. Can I just make a comment there? And it's a personal comment, and I'm just discussing. It is precisely because of the countries that don't come to ICANN that tends to make me personally want to go to an opt-out rather than an opt-in, because one of the reasons we think they're not coming to ICANN is that they feel no affinity with the region that they're in. But, I mean, I think the working group as a whole has noted the whole question of the opt-in or opt-out, and that's one of the big, huge discussions that we're going to have. So I'm not trying to anticipate.
May I specifically respond to that? Have you actually got any factual information to bear that out? Frankly, I don't think it should be a regional problem. If a country, if you can find a way of getting a country interested, and then they turn round from their CCTLD community, from their ALAC community, and identify themselves with a particular region, then that should be good enough for us. But that should follow on from the fact that they have got interested. And I don't really believe that the regions are a barrier to doing that. But if you've got factual information that show otherwise, I'd like to see it.
I honestly can't, to answer the question, I honestly can't remember.
Dave, it's Marilyn. I think it's helpful to share an experience ICANN had before it was born about the difference between opt-out and opt-in. 7 or 8 people, including a representative of a regional intergovernmental organization, and a representative of 2 IGOs met with a few people from the community and developed something called the GTLD MOU. And they posted it somewhere with a list of 300 entities who needed to opt out. And if they didn't opt out, then they were going to move the A-Root server to the ITU tower in Geneva. Most of the companies on that list had never heard of this issue or this question. So it's either good news or bad news that AT&T starts with A. And we had heard of it. Opt-out does not work. So, you know, maybe the fact that my company at the time, the company I worked for at the time, knew what was going on and became involved and helped to enlist other companies raised the question about whether that was the right approach. The question about that led to the green paper and the white paper and blah, blah, blah. The good news is being NewCo and then ICANN. But if we had taken the opt-out model, we would have had a crisis, and the answer would have been you should have opted out.
Let's agree on something. We have a system based off rationals. When the geographic region was implemented in ICANN, there was a rationale. It was to make cultural and language and language diversity inside the board. So let's give this target, this goal. Let's keep it and build on it. If the system that we will give as an improvement of the actual system it doesn't improve the diversity, the cultural and language diversity inside the board, we don't have to go with it. I don't say that the RIR model is bad. For the use of the RIR, it's very good. It works. But I don't see why we change a system by another and say it is a starting point. I have a car. I drive a car, and I find it is not powerful enough. So I say I have to change it for something more powerful. Let's take a tank, a military tank. It's not used for that, and the rear model is not used for the purpose of ICANN geographic region. I am not against it, but again I say we need to have always in mind the target, which is improve the diversity inside the board. The second point, the ALAC is the voice of the end users. And so we are aware of the interest of those people. And it is the interest of those people that we are explaining, we are expressing here. That's why we want the system to be more interesting for those people. Thank you.
Go on, Robert.
I'm the remote participation manager for this session as well, and Darlene Thompson provided a comment. I think it's a little behind only because of timing and my part in the queue. She said, a good example of this is Armenia. They are an AP RALO, but all of their ties are with URALO. They do not wish to participate in a RALO if they are limited to being an AP RALO for obvious reasons. Thank you, Darlene.
Yes, thank you for this. My name is Wolf Ludwig. I'm representing URALO here at this conference. And I would like to thank Darlene, who just by remote participation made this valid contribution, which is a constant discussion at URALO since at least 3 to 4 years. There are so many cases. Just to give another example of references, when I see how many countries are members of the Council of Europe, we have the two big institutions, we have the EU, European Union, where even Switzerland is not necessarily a member, but doesn't cover all of Europe at all. And on the other hand, you could refer to the Council of Europe model, which is sometimes including countries far in the east, where one could say whether this makes sense to slowly by slowly include half of the world into the Council of Europe. There are some good points or reservations to be made in this direction, but I think there are a lot of strong points. The example of Armenia shows clearly, for any historical, for any cultural, and whatsoever reason, Armenia is clearly and 100% oriented to Europe, towards Europe. They are an active part of the Council of Europe. The applicant we have to consider now is working closely with Council of Europe, Commission, European universities, etc., and the focal point of the applicant clearly told me we have no and never had any contact with Asia. For us it would be completely ridiculous, once being certified by ALEC, being officially part of Asia Pacific. And on the one hand, we always try to encourage organizations representing users in Europe to become member of the regional at large organizations. But if we have a geographic model which doesn't reflect certain diversities or certain specialities culturally, language, and more, this may prove to be a bit counterproductive. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm not part of the working group, but I did contribute to the consultation. My name is Maureen Hilliard, and I'm from the Pacific. I think reflecting back on what the gentleman behind me said, I'm with the Pacific chapter of the Internet Society, so we represent the 22 countries in the Pacific, and many of those countries are listed amongst the groups of countries that are going to be shifted, that are recommended to be shifted back and forth. And I know for a fact that many of them do not know what ICANN is, and there's only a very few of the Pacific region that is actually being that has actually attended ICANN meetings. But one of the things is that, I mean, I happened to be at the Cartagena meeting and at the board meeting, heard about the consultation process that was going to be undertaken, and I immediately thought to respond, because at that time, understanding that we were going to be with Asia Pacific. Now, we're in a lot of things with Asia Pacific, and Asia gets all the recognition and the Pacific doesn't get any. And so for me, I really wanted to impress on everybody that, you know, the Pacific is there. It's a ginormous region. 22 countries are actually within that region, and we don't, you know, like, I mean, I didn't feel that we had a voice. So I was very, very strong that we should get some sort of recognition as the Pacific. In the meantime, in the interim, since Cartagena, I have been very involved in ALEC and AP Rallo. And I have changed my thinking. I've found that the contact that I've actually had with AP Rallo, has actually given me, set me in a comfort zone of finding out more information, getting support, advice, and one of the things that we have actually realised is how lacking in capacity and understanding of the way that ICANN works, we do not have the capacity to be our own region. So, thank you very much. So, I have really appreciated, I think, you know, like, I mean, the association that we've actually had with AP Rallo, and as a board, we've actually opted to in public forum to actually state that we will remain with that system. But I do appreciate the support that you actually get within the RALO system, and that, you know, I think that it's AP RALO. They're a great team to work with, but we have we acknowledge that it's really important to that the system as it is. Now, one of the things too, though, is that we have within our membership, PIKAISOC membership of 22 countries, some of those countries belong to other RALOs. But regardless, because they're within our PIKAISOC region, they still get the support that we provide. And that will be ICANN training and ISOC, any that sort of thing. They'll still get it within the region. Thank you.
To complete the position of ALAC, ALAC proposes that we keep the actual geographic regions and let the possibility for any country who wants to go to another region that the one in which it is now, to give him the possibility to do it, and to give this possibility on the sovereignty principle. That means that we will not bring this part of this country and make them ask for changing to the other region. Thank you.
If we go down through this list, I think it might be
Dave, it's lost connectivity behind. Now it's coming back. I think your machine went to sleep.
Okay. I think UK also talked about something similar, about having allowing, can't remember where it is exactly. I think it's up a bit. Perhaps we don't need it on the screen anyway, but I think UK said something similar about allowing individual countries to elect and mow. What I didn't understand in that submission and or in ALAC's comments was whether they felt that ability to change regions, to self-select, if you like, was an ongoing, continual process with no restrictions whatsoever. Because my only concern, again, I'm speaking personally, not as the working group, my only concern with that would be, what's that going to do for representational issues? Surely for representational issues you need some degree of stability, and you also need to prevent countries doing gamesmanship.
In our proposal it was done. We said that it has to be done not more than once every 10 years or something like this for each country. We give some restrictions.
Okay, so did we in the draft report. We said the same thing. But others, I thought, were looking for even more flexibility. Can you comment on that, Martin? Sorry.
No, I'm afraid I don't represent the UK government, so I can't interpret their views. But I think underlying it all is, and go back to those two words, national sovereignty. People fight wars over national sovereignty, okay. And therefore we need to be very, very careful about telling countries where they belong. It's got to be the right of the country to make the choice.
Fine. I hear that comment. My question more is, but how often can they do that? And what sort of restrictions is put on that in order to make it manageable?
How are you going to tell a sovereign nation that you do not agree with their current interpretation of their best partner relationships, their best location, their interests, their cultural diversity, their linguistic interests? How are you actually going to do that? And I think the UK point is probably just simply flagging that you have to be realistic And that at the end of the day, if a country turns around and says, well, we don't actually feel at home in this region, that you have to listen and respond to them, and you can't write a rule that turns around and says, oh, but you've already changed and you can't change for another 9 years and 363 days.
How do you say that? You say it politely.
I don't think there's a way of saying something like that politely. It'll be taken as an insult.
Dave, I'm going to have to apologize. I thought we were going to have an opportunity to go in more detail to through these. I know this was intended to be a public participation opportunity, so I'm not going to apologize for not being a member of the working group. I thought that you wanted us additional strangers here. but I need to say now that obviously what I'm going to have to do is send you our written comments on this, because they're quite detailed comments that others have made, and I personally find there's a lot of merit in the concerns that have been raised. I'm sensitive to the idea that the present allocation to regions is not perfect. I also note, however, that to take center as an example, certainly there are countries, CCs, who are not physically located in Europe who participate in center. So I think I need to think more about the again, the business problem we're trying to solve, and whether there's flexibility for the substructures of ICANN, which may be the RALOs and others, to make a choice that may be different in some way than a choice that a government would make. And I have not thought enough about that. I understand the implications for business at this point much more than I do for others. But I must excuse myself. I think this is a fantastic summary. I wasn't able to find it, but I think Rob told me, yes, that so we will be able to digest it, and as well as the full report. Thank you.
Yes, we are getting to end of time.
You started late, and the room is free afterwards if you want to have extra time.
You're neglecting my stomach. how can I summarize at this point? I think one of the things we have felt is, as a result of the comments that we have got in, we have got to look at some of the content in the final report that... let me start again. We have done three reports. The first report looked at the problems of the present system. The second report looked at was the regional system working and where was it failing? And the final report was trying to make recommendations to help the board. I think we had an expectation that people would have read the first and second reports, and therefore we did not reference them that heavily in the final report. I think as a result, some of the feedback that we have got has been done without appreciating some of the work that has gone before. So I think we have got to expand the final report to give a more complete overall picture. One of the things that we found way back at the first report that I think is still valid is that the present system was allegedly built upon the UN statistics allocation. That allocation was created by UN Statistics for statistical and economic purposes, not for diversity within Cayman. any more than the RIR one is. So both have failings in that point. Secondly, when ICANN adopted, and I put that in inverted commas, the UN statistics model, they moved 40% of the countries into different countries than the UN allocated it to, but declined to say this was now an ICANN model. And I think in the first report we were saying, look, you've got to accept ICANN, that whatever you do, there isn't another model out there. You're going to have to bite the bullet and accept that you are maintaining a model that allocates countries to regions for the purposes of diversity within ICANN. And there is nothing that I have heard, and again, because I haven't discussed this with my working group, I'm expressing personal opinions, there is nothing that I have heard that changes that initial view from the first report. That somehow ICANN has got to accept that it is creating something that is unique to ICANN. The question then becomes, what is it that you're creating? How do you do that? One way it would merely be to recognize the existing system. But that has never been formally done and accepted.
Can I just ask you if you would consider a friendly amendment? It's Marilyn speaking. If you would consider a friendly amendment to your question, with the insertion of a couple of words, and when, and I say that, Dave, because there's a particularly challenging 18 to 24 months ahead of us as an organization and for the world as we struggle through the ITU Treaty Conference and the ITU World WTPF, World Technology Policy Forum in May of next year, and we come to 2015 and an assessment of the achievement of the Millennium Goals. And ICANN lives in that larger ecosystem. So I think it's coming to grips with, do they need to establish their own definition of regions? I think that's actually a fair question, but I'm not sure we've fully answered that question. And then if they need to do that, how would they do it, and what is the appropriate timing, I think, to me, still needs further analysis.
I would agree with some of what you say, but not all of it, because I don't think it's within the ambit of the working group to talk about timing, particularly in the overall scenario. That's a board decision, surely.
Yes, but you see, I asked the question of is it necessary for ICANN to try to establish what they consider binding definitions of regions? Is that a requirement? Is that something that ICANN must do?
With big on personal views today, I must admit, I think on a number of occasions we have asked the question, why do we need regions at all? As part of the working group.
Another point. Shall the final report, or what you call, because you got final report, you did it. Now, shall the final report will reflect the comments received, or shall it try to explain more to make those comments invalid?
I think we're going to try and improve the report in many respects. I think we do have to come with a recommendation. For example, and I'm just picking this as a as an example, the opt-in or opt-out. I think we have got to do more study and review on that as one. I think I'm not saying that the report will incorporate everybody's comments, because it just won't. It can't. But it will then be coming back to ALAC, for example, for formal comments on that final report, which will be attached to it and will go to the board in whatever timing that happens.
And just the general observation that the working group is made up of representatives of the various SOs and ACs, and so that's another vehicle in which those views will undoubtedly be expressed in the deliberations.
That's right, and I asked our representative in the working group, and she said it was the consensus, but it wasn't my position.
We are over time, ladies and gentlemen. I found this a most useful meeting. I hope it has been for you as well. Any final comments from anyone? All right.
Yes.
You were second, Marilyn.
I want to thank you, Dave, really, because we are always fighting with you about this this report. And I know that you try your best, but believe me, we are trying to find the best model that will be in the interest of in the benefit of the global public interest, especially for the end users.
My question is a question to you and to Rob. One of the things that I've noticed is that when I manage to encourage business people to come to ICANN, and I'm saying this with generalization, and they go to the public microphone or they come to a meeting like this and they make comments, I don't necessarily see those comments included in the summary of public comments. And so it's just a question of, you know, if we... So it's not particular to you guys, to your initiative, but it's kind of a fair question. If I come to participate in and give you public comments in this way, and it may not be relevant, Dave, to this particular thing, but, you know, I think it is relevant to the idea that people go to the public comment mic, and then we don't actually see the comments we make about a topic incorporated in the summary.
Well, that's been a commitment of this working group, holding these workshops, producing the transcripts, and, in fact, I think, for example, Tijani's initials are included in the summary report from the past meeting. I think that is a larger question from ICANN. As I saw in the past, what would happen as part of some of the public comment efforts, they would call them workshops at ICANN meetings. I know this from the GNSO improvements effort as an example, that there were special forums, those transcripts were produced, the independent reviewers would consider them, the board governance committee considered them. It's a valid question in terms of other things that go on for how we capture that in a programmed way, because I think they're all valuable.
Yeah, but we have recorded all these meetings and published them.
That's why I wanted to make it clear I wasn't talking about your group.
All right. Thank you, everybody.